B-Pod Studios.
This. Hey, have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
Boston down one, trying to pull off the win of the year. Smart holding it. Bounce pass in. Kyrie's got it. Turns with a left-hand dribble in the paint. Crazy runner. No good. The ball game is over.
Wow.
Last month in Orlando, Kyrie Irving didn't get the ball in that situation and wasn't happy about it. Tonight, he gets it, but his runner bounces out, and the Bucks have survived. There is conversation going on after the whistle. Marcus Morris was very upset. Obviously, a lot of stuff goes on away from the ball in those final second situations, but Marcus Morris is furious.
Yeah.
It came into Kyrie. He came down the left side.
Ooh,
he
did get bumped. Contact.
Yeah, he got bumped. Marcus Morris got a rebound, but Kyrie, he got past Giannis, jumped in the paint, and Bledsoe's been playing physical all night. Hit him pretty good. But the Celtics do not get the call at the buzzer on the road, and the Bucks survive by the thinnest of NBA margins. The final score, Milwaukee 98, Boston 97.
All right, final hour of an agenda-free Friday, which is driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. If you're just joining us, we're doing an agenda-free Friday, meaning everything from the week, including updating you and just resetting our thoughts from time to time on the Robert Kraft situation. So that's still on the table. The station doesn't want us taking calls on it, so we're not going to take calls on it. But the very latest, nothing's really developed in the last 2 hours.
Correct.
I'll say that. I mean, more details come out about this. The human trafficking end of it, and this massage parlor, which is, you know, some hideous details, but not really. That doesn't really have anything to do with Kraft, at least as it stands right now. If he was going in there for a massage and for whatever else, does that mean he's tied into a human trafficking ring? I mean, sort of the way the headlines and that reporting makes it sound, which might be a little unfair. But again, we'll see how that all plays out. But other than details about the actual massage parlor, there's been no update on Robert's involvement with it from 2 o'clock. So, but we keep updating you on it. He is being charged with a misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution in Jupiter, Florida. A warrant has been issued and his attorneys will be notified. So he has not been arrested yet. Came amid that widespread crackdown on sex trafficking in the area surrounding Palm Beach County. Robert, through a spokesman, has adamantly denied it. Or categorically denies it. Quote, according to a spokesman, quote, "We categorically deny that Mr. Kraft engaged in any illegal activity because it is a judicial matter. We will not be commenting further." Okay, cops say they have videotape of him doing this twice. The money exchanging hands and the sex acts, apparently, on tape, if I read that properly.
No, and I think someone, I thought I heard audio of someone asking an official, is there actually video evidence of him, you know, engaging?
Yep.
And the answer was yes.
Yeah, he says they have video on all the guys that they've brought up on charges.
So
I have it right here. It's only 16 seconds.
Go ahead.
All right.
The question was, does the video contain Mr. Kraft inside receiving the alleged acts? The answer to that is yes.
Correct.
As the chief already spoke, there was two incidences.
Do you think it expands beyond those two incidences?
I that would be casting an opinion at this time. I don't do that.
Okay, so at another point they were asked, did it look like Mr. Kraft was familiar with the facility or familiar with the operation? And they said, based on the evidence, yes. So I don't know what that means. That's sort of vague. So, I mean, just from a legal standpoint, the trial, the case, I should say, you have police saying we have him on tape twice, and then Kraft saying categorically denies any illegal activity, which, as I keep saying, is a massive gap between where the truth lies. So either they got the wrong guy on tape, they don't have him on tape, or Kraft's lawyer is just being a little too aggressive or something. I don't know. There's somewhere in between. There doesn't feel like there's an in-between there is what I mean.
Yeah, I mean, if that tape ever sees the light of day, then...
Well, it doesn't have to see the light of day at all. It has to see as the judge or the jury or who's ever adjudicating this. All they have to do is look at the tape.
Yeah, in the court of public opinion. Like, you know... They can deny the existence of it or whatever else, or that's not me. But if we ever actually see it, boy, that'll be bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think him tape of just entering that facility is not going to look good. It already doesn't look good. But just from a legal standpoint, I find it fascinating that the cops could say we have it on tape and then the person say I'm completely innocent. Like, okay, let's see how that one plays out. In terms of what the league does, we'll see. could be a suspension. Even if he's found innocent, he could be suspended. There's precedent for that with Jim Irsay with the Indianapolis Colts. That's another item that interests me. And again, the final thing is that Adam, and I'm just grabbing my list, Adam Schefter said that Robert's not the most prominent name on this list. He's not the most prominent name of someone who could get involved in this or be associated with this, which to me is fascinating because Robert's a pretty big name. How do you get bigger than Robert Kraft?
Again, just Google the names, famous people that live in Jupiter, Florida, and you'll see those names. I'll go, oh, yeah, no, they're more famous.
Okay, so there are not a lot, but a smattering of more prominent people than Robert Kraft.
I can tell you this. Two popped into my head right away, obvious.
So I asked these guys to write down their names, and when the name comes out, we'll see if they were on our list. I've got five on my list. And it turns out, as we compared our lists, one and two were all the same. one of us had one, two, but the first two were the same.
Permutations were different.
The first two were the same on everyone's.
So can we give little hints without giving
it away? No hinting. Nope, we've done well not to get in trouble all day, Maz. Let's keep it that way. So there's that, all right? The second thing is, everything else here on Agenda Free Friday, the Celtics last night. I know Jimmy Stewart had a massive problem with them calling that last play for Marcus Morris. It was dialed up for Marcus Morris. Why do you have a problem with it, Jimmy, if it may have worked if they hadn't called that or if they had called the foul?
Well, why have Kyrie Irving then? Kyrie Irving is your best offensive player. He's one of the great closers in recent NBA history. Put the ball in his hands with 3.5 seconds and let him deliver an offensive shot, whether it's just an open shot on the outside or whether it's a dribble penetration to the right side. That's why Kyrie Irving is there. That's why Kyrie Irving helps you win a championship.
So you blame Brad Stevens, obviously.
100% blame him. We've now had two instances that I can think of, this one last night and in Orlando, where Kyrie Irving, your best offensive player, is the second option on a play. That's inexcusable.
So Orlando was worse. So Orlando was worse.
How come, Maz, you don't have a bigger problem with it?
Because
you're a big Kyrie guy.
I am. I generally speaking, I agree with Jimmy.
Thank you.
Generally speaking, I also think having watched it, the play was there. If Morris doesn't get grabbed, it's there. I mean, they'll score.
Do you think the Celts got screwed?
No, I don't think they get screwed. I didn't say that. I'm just saying that the play
was
there.
To clarify.
Yeah, no. You know, to me, when you leave Chris Middleton wide open for a three-pointer in a tie game with 30 seconds left, and you made this point earlier, and it's a fair assessment. They were chasing all night.
They were never, the last time they were in command of that game was the middle of the second quarter.
They were chasing all night long. So did they get jobbed? No, they lost a tough game. That's the way it goes, okay, in that league. So ultimately, would I like to see the ball go to Kyrie there? Yes, absolutely. The play was there, and it's different than Orlando for this reason. Orlando was Jason Tatum basically ISO one-on-one. I mean, not quite, but close. He was coming off a pick, but there was a defender trailing him. And then he squared up and had a guy and had to beat him off the dribble. This was Morris coming off a screen, cutting to the basket, catching the ball and laying it in. You follow me? All he had to do was catch it and dunk it, lay it in, whatever. He didn't have to beat someone or put the ball on the floor after the fact. So they're a little bit different. At the end of the day, when you have a player like Kyrie, you should give him the ball.
And my bigger issue with Brad Stevens last night is that Jaylen Brown is still in his doghouse, and when he's playing that well, whatever the issue is, and at times, look, he's been there deservingly so, but to give him 24 minutes when he and Al Horford were the best two players last night, it makes absolutely no sense, especially when Gordon Hayward is out because he's a klutz and fell all over himself in practice and injured his ankle. 24 minutes for last night for Jaylen Brown was negligent, is what it was. And then Gershon Yabusele's getting minutes, too, that should go to Jaylen Brown. I hated that.
He was their most reliable scorer last night, Brown was. I don't care what the final numbers say. He shot the ball better than Horford did. He was the one guy that was making shots.
Okay, my takeaway from the game and the ending was that the bitching about the reffing is so typical of you. And the way you Celtics fans and, you know, NBC Sports Boston, our home network, who I love, but their coverage just feeds this nonsense. The whole postgame show was complaining about the officiating when, in fact, you never even should have gotten the last shot. Or if they had handled the tip properly, meaning the refs handled the tip properly, you wouldn't even have gotten the last shot or would have had far less than 3.5 seconds. They botched or they blew the call on that tip. And we'll get into that in a little bit. Have they come out with a 2-minute report yet, Jimmy?
They haven't, and I've been on the NBA official website since we started the show, and it's not there.
Okay, so
I mean, are they going to call the foul on Kyrie Irving for shouldering Chris Middleton?
So did Middleton grab Marcus Morris? For sure. No question. But did Kyrie set a moving screen to even begin that sequence?
He did.
You could make the case. But even beyond that, they screwed up the tip on the other end. The Bucks somehow pulled that off. The shot clock is not supposed to begin until the second touch, meaning the shot clock does not start with the tip. The ref confirmed it in the postgame. The ref said it himself. The shot clock begins with possession. And that means when the Bucks, Mike Callahan said to a pool reporter after the game that when he possessed the ball, you can, I'm sorry, with 0.2 seconds left, the 24-second clock didn't start until Lopez possessed the ball. So it's not supposed to start until the second touch or possession. Okay? You are allowed, and they do give you a tip-in with 0.2 seconds left. They said he grabbed the ball. They said he possessed and grabbed the ball and shot the ball. So wrong. He did not.
No. That was, in fact, I give the Bucks. I didn't think the Bucks had a prayer pulling that off, and they did.
And so, look, I don't know the rule either. Does the shot clock start at the tip? That's how they ruled it, almost, because they put 3.5 seconds on the clock. No, the shot clock doesn't go until the next touch. And in that case, the Bucks pulled that off, and the refs blew it. And so you never should have even had the ball in the first place. And then I brought up a whole second part to it where I don't even know it's guaranteed that you would have shot free throws if they had called the grab on Middleton. Okay, the Bucks were not in the penalty. You were not in the bonus. The Bucks had not committed a foul inside of 2 minutes. So that was a foul on the floor, non-shooting foul. I think you might have been side out. Then we heard clarification of it, that there is actually a rule that I heard no one talk about last night, that if you grab a player on an inbounds inside of 2 minutes, you can be awarded one free throw and get the ball back.
Correct.
It's like a technical.
Right, and we have a caller call in and say it was a result of all the intentional fouls on DeAndre Jordan at the end of those games with the Clippers when he was with them, so that the time would go off the clock and you send a bad free throw shooter to the line.
Okay, so I'm not sure that would have qualified. Okay, so the rule was put in place for the Hacker Jordan thing and that sort of stuff. So you go grab a guy. You bear hug him and grab him and, you know, just obviously call a foul. I don't know if it was meant for that situation. I don't know if the refs would have called that in that situation.
Right. In other words, a deliberate foul to send a bad shooter to the line.
Right. No, I mean, now they just might call it a foul.
Right.
In which case, no free throw side out. But no one's really brought that up. You don't automatically go to the line even if they called that foul.
Yeah. So again, look, to me, he grabbed him. There's no question about it. You know, could it have been called? Probably. But to me, I still go back to that Middleton three. How do you leave Chris Middleton open like that in a tie game with 30 seconds left? The guy killed them in the playoffs last year. He's the best shooter on the team. Danny Ainge wanted the guy, for crying out loud. They tried to trade for him at points. And that's the guy you leave unattended?
I was still willing to give you Middleton and Thon Maker for Kyrie. And you didn't want to do it.
No, because I don't want Thon Maker. And Middleton's a free agent at the end of the year.
So?
Oh, kiss my ass.
So is Kyrie. So is Kyrie.
Thon Maker sucks.
He's being misused in Detroit right now.
I agree.
Thon Maker sucks. You guys are idiots.
That was a good offer. All right, that's all. That's our reset there. Your phone's on everything on an agenda-free Friday right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ball move to Giannis, dropped it for a second, but he's got it back against Smart. Shot clock winding down. Marcus Smart reaches in, ties him up for a jump ball with 0.2 seconds remaining on the shot clock.
Wow.
And Marcus went into Cobra mode and leaped forward for basketball.
Wow. And all the Bucks can do is tap this thing.
That's if they win this jump ball. The Celtics do have a timeout. There's 3.7 on the clock, so assuming Milwaukee, even if they win it, can't get a shot away, Celtics will get it with that clock stop and be able to advance the ball. Giannis taps it forward. It's pushed up. It almost went in. There was an offensive rebound attempt that you don't get. They're calling the shot clock violation. The Bucks are arguing, and I get this, that ball was up on the rim, that it was a tap. Oh, this is a mess. They're going to have to clean up. Giannis tapped it forward to Lopez, and Lopez tapped it towards the rim, but did the 0.2 seconds tick off the clock. It's going to be Celtics ball with 3.5 to go.
Ooh.
Down by one.
Man. talking about stealing the game. If you only had only 0.2 of a second, you can't tap it and then tap it again. You don't have that much time. That's what I would say.
But remember, it's almost as if the guy at the shot clock, when Giannis tapped it on the jump ball, that's not when you start the clock.
Yeah, it is when you start the clock.
Well, if that's the case, then there's no discussion.
That's when you start the clock. When he touches the ball, that's when the clock starts.
Then there's no discussion.
There's no discussion.
Sorry, Max. Wrong, Max. Wrong again. Hockey guy here got it right. You got it wrong. Sorry, Max. It's not like you play in the league or anything. You would know the rules. Grandy had it right. And you know what? It just came out. It's official. Celtics fans, NBC Sports Boston. I hate to kill the NBC Sports Boston programming because this was their entire postgame show last night.
You mean the Kyrie Irving foul on Milton?
Was crying about the officiating. They didn't mention one thing about them botching the tip, which they did. They botched the tip. The Celtics never even should have had a final shot. Never even should have had a final shot. The two-minute report, which is freaking awesome, by the way.
This thing is, it's unbelievable.
Oh,
it's
my God.
Unbelievable how transparent they are with this stuff.
So that last sequence, it never should have came down to a final Celtics shot because they never should have called a 24-second violation on the Bucks. The league just came out with their two-minute game report and said as much. At the time of the jump ball, there are 0.2 seconds remaining on the shot clock. Antetokounmpo tips the ball to Lopez, who does not control the ball, and attempts a tip-in with two hands. By rule, the only type of field goal he can attempt is a tip-in since there are fewer than 0.3 seconds remaining on the shot clock. A 24-second violation should not have been called. Crying about the refs. You never even should have gotten a final shot.
Tell you what, again, I give the Bucks all the credit in the world for executing that. Like, holy crap, what a play. 0.2 seconds, they tip it again and hit the rim.
I mean, I said it immediately when I saw the referee Mike Callahan last night to the pool reporter. Said with 0.2 seconds left, the 24-second clock didn't start until Lopez possessed the ball. When he possessed the ball, you cannot have a legal shot attempt with 0.2 on the clock. You can only have a tip-in. It's clear Lopez never possessed the ball. He tipped it. So the refs got that wrong in real time. And it never should have came down. Now, Brogdon missed the follow, but
they would have killed another second or whatever.
Well, they blew the whistle and the buzzer went off, and so they all stopped. And I think that got into Brogdon as he was going for the tip. But even if they hadn't done that, he still missed the tip. The ball's on the ground. Who got it next? I don't even know. Did Brogdon get his own rebound or did Celtic? Who knows?
I don't remember.
You're not getting the ball with 3.5 seconds left. If you're getting the ball at all. Good God. The amount of time Tommy and Draper were crying about the freaking grab on the screen. You never should come down to that. I didn't hear any about that.
And it gets better.
Okay, so.
Read the rest of it.
Okay. Then,
Mike, go.
Okay. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. After that, they said there should have been an offensive foul on Kyrie Irving for setting a moving screen on Middleton.
Oh.
So even before Marcus Smart inbounds the ball, even before Chris Middleton grabbed Marcus Morris, they should have called an offensive foul on Kyrie Irving, according to the league. Irving is not established in a screening position in Middleton's path, and he moves laterally into him, affecting his ability to defend the play. So it should have been offensive foul, not the grab. Are you folks still crying about the grab? Tommy, you still crying about this?
So now I know why the league issues this two-minute report. I used to wonder, why do they do this?
Oh, it's so good.
Like, they cause more problems for themselves, but now I know why they do it.
There's more! There's a third one!
Because there are violations all over the place on every play.
Draper, get this, here's a third one! Guess who didn't inbound the ball within 5 seconds? Marcus Smart held it for more than 5 seconds. It should have been a 5-second call, according to the league. It should have been a 5-second violation on Marcus Smart. He does not inbound the ball within 5 seconds. So before we even get to Middleton grabbing Morris,
the Celtics benefited from three calls.
Three blown calls gave you the chance. Three blown calls gave you the chance. Oh, this two-minute report is delicious. It's porn. I'm going to take my pants off. Okay, then. All right, you did get fouled. And Middleton should have been called for grabbing Marcus Morris following the contact from the screen by Irving, which should have been called offense and wasn't. Middleton grabs Morris and affects his FOM. FOM being?
No idea.
His FOM in all caps.
Freedom of movement.
Oh.
Okay. So I wonder about that. And again,
I got to use that.
They don't specify it here, but I'm still not even sure that's a shooting foul. The Bucks weren't in the bonus. The Bucks weren't in the penalty. The Celtics weren't in the bonus. They didn't have a foul with inside of 2 minutes. They had only two in the quarter. So they might have just sent you back to the sideline for another side out. There is another rule that if you grab a guy intentionally, they'll give you a free throw like it's a technical, but I don't know if that play qualified or not. Maybe it does, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It didn't specify here.
So I think the way it was worded, though, is impede your progress. And if so to me, but let's just say it would have.
Fine,
I mean,
it would
have. Again, the Bucks screwed up there. Like the degree of it, it doesn't all have to be anti-Celtic. The Bucks screwed up there.
I'm just reading from the game report. That's all I'm doing, Tony.
Yeah, you're spinning it a little.
I have no bias or no spin. Have I misquoted the 2 minute report, Jimmy? One bit?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, then they
I'm
said,
sure you have.
Then they said Kyrie Irving was fouled on the shot, not once but twice. apparently, Giannis, and this is observable only in enhanced video. Antetokounmpo extends his leg and makes contact with Irving's leg, affecting his, this is so great, SQBR on his drive to the basket.
His, what's SQBR, Squibber?
His SQBR to the basket, his SQBR on
speed,
his.
Speed, quickness, balance, and rhythm.
Is that true, or are you just coming up with that?
I'm looking at the
oh, yeah,
short
the abbreviations,
key at the bottom
yeah.
of the page.
And then,
you know what? I have very high SQBR.
And then Bledsoe got him on the body. Bledsoe moves A to B into Irving and affects his driving shot attempt.
His SQBR.
Okay, well, they didn't say that here. So, yes, Middleton should have been called for a foul, and Irving should have been gotten a foul on his drive to the basket. But you understand, green teamers, it never should have came down to that. The Celtics never would have had the ball if they had just called the 24-second violation thing properly.
Okay, so before you even, like...
And never that, mind that, the 5 seconds.
So that part is true. Now let's get to the last play. Basically, you just rattled off 5 violations on that last play.
6.
Okay, 6.
Well, I'm going back to the tip.
Okay, so...
Because I'm obsessed with
the tip. So take the tip out of it.
Okay, 5. Okay,
5 on the last play. Do you want a league where they call 5 violations on that play, or they just let you play?
I wanted them to let it go just like that.
So this is my point. Like, you know, you didn't lose the game there. You lost the game when you left Chris Middleton wide open for a 3 and somebody didn't rotate properly. That's when you, like, lost it. All the stuff at the end of the game, that's chaos. Like, I don't want them blowing the whistle there unless it's so egregious that, you know, you have no choice. When it gets to that stage, it's a free-for-all and everybody knows it.
Oh, this 2 minute report is delicious. Oh, it's just tasty, and they have videos with every example. That is so good. Now, let me ask you this. Is this good or bad for the league?
The 2 minute report?
Yeah.
No, it's good. That kind of transparency is good. I wish the NFL would do something.
So
like
I think there's a reason they do it.
Because no one said a 5 second call on Marcus Smart. There was some uncertainty on the 24 second clock, but then everyone said, oh, no, they got it right. They tipped it with 0.2, so they put 3-5 on the clock, but no one knew the rule. But no one said anything about the 5 second. It was sort of clear that Kyrie Irving was a moving screen on Middleton before Middleton grabbed. So, but like they've going into this, there was one controversy. Now we have 5. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay, like but see, this is why they do it though, and this never occurred to me until now. They muddy it up so much, and basically say to you, "Look,
these things could go either way."
Exactly, yeah. And you know, what they're trying to tell you is. Do you understand how many violations there are on every trip down the floor? Do you want us to call every one of them? Fine. So you know what? Here's a list of all the actual violations that happened in the final 2 minutes, and you tell us if you want us to call them all. Like, until now, I never got it. Now I get it. As a fan, I don't want the whistle blown for all those things. Like, there's a little human error there. There's always latitude in the final seconds of a game. You can get away with a little bit more, and hell, on any play, you can get away with a little bit more.
Unbelievable. In the final 2 minutes, how many different plays do they say should have been called or not called? Like 15, Jimmy? It's unbelievable.
If we were to print this out, this would be 15 pages.
Oh.
See, this is why they do it. Stop bitching about the calls, because we got 5 others that you didn't even focus on.
So, the big ones are the grab of Morris, but sorry, you never even should have had the ball, because... This isn't piddling. The 24-second one, they blew. The rule is clear. And not that I knew it, But the rule is clear. The shot clock does not start on the tip of the ball. It starts with the next touch or possession. And if there's under 0.3 on the clock, you can only tip it. And Lopez clearly tipped it. He did not grab it. He did not possess it. He did not shoot it. He tipped it. So a little bit of clarity there. That was tremendous. I enjoyed the crap out of that. I promise your phones right after Murray's update, the latest on Robert Kraft right here.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mass.
Pendleton, 2-5. No good. The teams are combining for under 19% shooting, and there's a throwaway.
Oh,
Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxton, Steyer, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight spilled on the floor. Can't think of any more beers.
Oh my goodness. You are on a ride to tell.
Kyrie with a miss.
You have decompressed in the Turks and Caicos. Because you are on fire, my friend.
What you're talking about. Brogdon with a three. No. Another miss. 17% combined shooting in this third quarter. Horford, three. No.
Another. How many no's are you going to say in this telecast?
I don't know. Let's spill some more beer. That'll get the crowd going.
Will he get a free one?
I would hope so. We're in the beer capital of the world.
That was the TNT broadcast last night. On top of everything else with that Celtics game and the finish, what a pig of a product.
Oh, it really was a bad game.
For about 45 of the 48 minutes. I mean, and so the play that Kevin Harlan, TNT, was terrific. What sent Marcus Morris into the crowd is that the Celtics are just coming out of their own end, and Al Horford's skipping the ball to the other side of the floor, and he chucks it into the stands.
I mean, between the both of them for 5 minutes there, it looked like they were trying to play dodgeball.
Oh, it was the whole game, turning awful. The ball over, off your knee, off your leg, throwing it out of bounds, clang, clang, clang.
Yeah, bad shooting.
Oh, my God. Which, again, as I said earlier, like, these fellas must get after it during that All-Star break, because they came back like their head was in the fog.
Oh, listen, it was a horribly played game. I will say, as an aside, you know, I developed a little bit of respect for the Bucks last night because, you know, they play good defense.
Well, the coach has got them. The coach figured that out.
I mean, they dig in. They do. They fight. They compete. They give you the whole 48.
Well, at least they know how to play the real game now. They shoot threes and they play defense. And, yeah, they're still flawed. I mean, I think I told you exactly what they are. Late in games, I don't think they can match up because Giannis is not a polished player in that situation. I mean, if you get the ball to him down low, he's deadly. And in transition, forget about it. He's a freight train. You're not going to stop him. But if you can get him to receive the ball up by the three-point line.
Or just trying to make him work. Fadeaway jumpers aren't his thing, you know?
Well, but he just, especially in that last-minute situation, he's out there and he has no handle. His handle sucks. And so if he puts the ball on the floor out there or tries to create his own shot, he really can't. He's just not polished enough yet. He'll shoot the three a little bit if he's left wide open and he'll spot up and shoot it. But if you're up on him, he's not going to shoot that. He's not going to dribble past you. There were a couple times where the Celtics switched and Kyrie was on him, and he wouldn't even back down Kyrie Irving because he's just – and so you get in the last 2 minutes and you need a shot. If he's not on the block and he can't get down there, then it's up to the rest of them. And so, like, I think that's going to catch up to Milwaukee at some point.
I mean, Middleton's a guy I'd give the ball to on the, you know, at the late in the game if I were them. He scares the crap out of me. I don't know what it is about him. When he gets rolling, man, he's one of those guys who shot – like the net doesn't move when it goes in. He feels like one of those.
No, he's a gunner. Okay, so we got 9 minutes. We'll rifle through your seven calls here if we can. Something of a lightning round, which I know Jimmy's fond of. John in Boston on the Celts. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's going on? I'm curious here. We're talking about the plays, the fouls that happened on the Celtics after the tip and why they were so important. What makes it so important that the Celtics made fouls in the box after the tip-in? Wouldn't it not make a difference? None of those plays should have mattered. And so my last question is, why are you such a squid?
Okay, I'm a squid because I watched the NBC Sports Boston postgame show last night, in which it was all about the officials, and it bugged me. and it wasn't covered fairly. And I'm about fairness. I want things covered fairly and objectively. And it wasn't done. It was just complaining about Morris being grabbed when the play should never even have happened if you're just looking at it objectively. And so that's why I'm a squid. There it is. Andrew in Fairhaven. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What do you got?
Good. So I couldn't agree with you guys more on your last take about the Celtics game. You know, I'm a diehard Celtics fan, but I'm also a realist. Both teams played a horrible game. When it comes down to it, you know, the Bucks made shots when it counted at the end, you know, Middleton included. Our bench should have just pretty much stayed on the bench. They probably would have had a better game than they had. Rozier, he sucked. He didn't show up at all. Marcus Smart had a tough game, you know, only 5 points on the offensive end.
Well, let me stop you, Andrew, because I know Jim Murray has a thought on Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier.
Yeah, it's just, and this is the reason that I've pretty much, like, given up, like, in terms of getting out of the East. I just, the numbers don't lie when it comes to these two specific players. Marcus Smart's horrendous shooting. He's going to keep taking threes no matter what, because he's just the most confident player, even though he can't shoot. Last night, 1 of 5, 2 of 8 from, 1 for 5 from 3, 2 for 8 from 2. And he's never going to stop shooting. So that's not going to change. And then with Terry Rozier, this is the bigger problem. For anyone that wants to try to make the argument that Terry Rozier is the answer if Kyrie leaves, he's not. And how he plays in Milwaukee in big moments like last night proves it. Go back to the playoff series last year. And the road games, phenomenal at home. The road games, trash. Combined, 35 points in the three road games, Game 3, Game 4, Game 6, in nearly 104 minutes. And, Maz, did you break it down even further in terms of the percentage for shooting?
I did, yeah. In his last four games at Milwaukee now, he is shooting 27% from the field overall and 22.5% from three-point distance. Ugh. 7 for 31 on threes. And what the caller said about the bench, I mean, if you look at the plus-minuses last night, the Celtics starters were plus, all of them. I mean, when their best five was on the floor, they won the game. The bench, including Brown, which is unfair.
Jaylen Brown had a good night.
Okay, unfair to Brown. But the bench guys, really, you know, I thought George Hill was a big factor in that game because he was in Kyrie's shorts when he was on the floor.
So Rozier, again, he can't elevate his game on the road in a big moment. He did it again last night. It's proven. That's not changing. So when Kyrie's checked out like he is last night, goes 9 for 27 and then decides, oh, you know, now I'll try in the fourth quarter, you'll need Rozier to step up his game. On the road against a team like Milwaukee, he can't do it.
Veek in Rhode Island, give me a Bruins thought.
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Real quick on the trade, I think the trade was necessary. I think it sends a good message to the team. And quickly, just to brief you guys in, I think there were two takes throughout the week I just wanted to correct. So somebody called yesterday and said something about the third and fourth line sucking. The third line sucks. The fourth line does not suck. So Agreed. That's correction one. And correction number two, all week I've been hearing about this lucky goal that Chris Wagner scored. I actually heard a clarification, read it online, that apparently the goal is actually technically is legal, because what he did is when after he had deflected the puck and hit it down into the blue paint, he actually hit it again. It wasn't like a standard deflection. So basically what he did is no different than if someone whacked the puck above shoulder height and took a slap shot from the blue line and beat the goalie.
Well, so that's what I originally thought, but then someone said to me, no, the rule is that if you play it or your team plays it, it's a high stick. If the other team plays it, it's not.
Correct. Yeah, the caller's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think
they should have blown the whistle.
I agree.
They should have blown the whistle. He hit the puck above his shoulder, and then he played it.
They got lucky. They got a call. They got a good call, like the Celtics last night. The thing about the sending a good message to the Bruins, making a trade, I sort of agree with that. Like, they've played their ass off this year.
They have.
They really have.
No, they played hard all year, and they've to a large degree, they've overachieved, and they've had to endure some stuff. You know, they lost Bergeron for a time. They've lost McAvoy for a time. They've lost Chara for a time. You know, Rass was playing like garbage at the beginning of the year. Halak was playing like garbage in the middle. Like, really, all across the board, you look at it and say they've fought through it.
So I think they deserve to have the front office do something for them or help them out. So I sort of agree with that take. Billy in Lakeville on the Celts. Go ahead, Billy.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, Tom Curran hangs around here all the time on Route 18 and Dunkin' Donuts. He's funny as hell.
He's
but
tremendous.
Anyway, he said that the Celtics should build around the Patriots. Irving should go and build the young kids, because young kids are what enthuse the watching of the public. I mean, he's causing too much problems. Don't you agree?
Okay, Maz, do you agree?
Nope. So let me ask you this. If Tom Brady's a pain in the ass, you getting rid of him?
Maybe.
Really? Yeah. Good luck, then. Good luck.
No, I mean like a real pain in the ass.
Okay, so...
I'm not talking about letting his trainer come on the plane. I'm talking like divisive, you know.
Was Brady a diva last year?
Not like Kyrie.
Okay, but you understand what I'm getting at.
I do, but there's my degrees point is, of it.
Okay, but you got to tolerate a great player's...
degrees.
Yes.
Throwing teammates under the bus? And not having guys follow you because they don't like you? Like, at some point, that catches up.
Okay, so I don't like that part either. Okay, I don't like that part either. But I'm telling you that in that league, you're going to have to accept a certain amount of that.
There's been plenty of a-hole quarterbacks who haven't won as much as they should because they were a-holes. Favre, Marino, maybe Aaron Rodgers, maybe Peyton Manning. I mean, I think it does. I think in football, it's important. In basketball, it's less. It's really more about talent. I mean, I'm with you on that.
Look, football's just easier to preach the team concept because it is. It's 11 guys working together. So a lot of things have to go right. Basketball doesn't work that way.
Joe in Boston on the Celts. Go, Joe.
Yeah, 2 to 6, we don't actually watch the game show. You're a million percent wrong on pretty much everything that you talk about with the Celtics. I felt the refs.
Joe, your phone sucks, but I'm sorry that you got all those calls last night from the refs. Not my fault. That's not my take. That's the league. That was the league's official report that the Bucks got jobbed on a series of calls at the end of that game that put you in a position to even have a chance to win it when you shouldn't have been given that chance. That's not me. That's the league. I'm sorry about that.
So apparently, if you don't see it the same way as someone else, it doesn't count as watching the game? Is that the deal?
I actually watched that entire pig roast of a game last night, and it sucked for most of the night.
Of course. You had two of the best teams in the East going at it. Of course you're going to dig in. But I get it. It's not whether you watch the game. It's whether you see it the same way. That's what it is.
Call back on a better phone. We'll let you have your say. Greg in the car, wrap us up for today. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey, guys, there's two things about that game last night, that Celtics game, that irked me. One, the Bucks knew that ball was going to Marcus Morris. It was very frustrating to watch. I mean, they felt like they could not scheme around anything that the Bucks were doing defensively. And two, it was strange that Brad Stevens admitted to that the ball was going to Marcus Morris. It felt like a coach that was just trying to cover his own ass.
Okay, so that second piece I don't get.
Me neither. I don't know what he's talking about. And look, honestly, I'm not sure the Bucks did know. Middleton had to hold him to break it up.
Yeah, no, right. I mean, and part of me wonders if the Bucks were... He was so blatant about it because they knew they had a foul to give. Again, not counting that DeAndre Jordan sort of that exception.
Sure,
rule,
sure, that's know? Right.
Maybe they weren't fully up on that rule either.
Could be.
And that Middleton said, well, and maybe Budenholzer told him, you guys got a foul to give, so if someone's got a step on you, go ahead. So maybe, I don't know. But... the Bucks are better defensively. They are.
Really. I was impressed by that. And because I thought Kyrie, a lot of times, Kyrie can shake guys. I mean, you don't need me to tell you that. Off the dribble with the way he can change direction and everything else. Like, he's a hard guy to stop. When he wants to get to the basket, he gets there. And for the most part, I thought the Bucks kept him away from the hoop last night. George Hill in particular, when he was on him, he was all over him. He was all over. I thought they did a really good job on Kyrie last night.
What do we got for the final word? Any fresh material?
We have Mad Mike and Squeaky Maz best of.
Best of. Hardy's on vacation. He deserves some time off.
Oh, yeah.
So let's do
That's why.
So the bet is guaranteed to be all-star material. Mad Mike, Squeaky Maz, final word right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Maz.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires? There is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right. So with Rob Hardy pool out this week means we don't have a fresh Mad Mike or Squeaky Maz, but we have best of. So this one's labeled Mad Mike Traffic.
Hold on. Mad Mike Traffic.
I'm sure it's you yelling at me, probably about bitching about traffic, maybe.
I was just going to say him bitching about being in traffic, period. You hate the way other people drive.
Oh, they can't drive, especially here in this town. Go! I do love the Red Sox scheduling the afternoon game here on August 31st because there's nothing else going on. There's no other traffic or, you know, nothing else to contend with here.
Oh, you mean like students, parents moving into town?
Oh, no. No, there's nothing going on. The streets are empty.
Yeah, it was a picnic for me to get in here today.
Or you mean
on my pogo stick.
Every mom and dad from New Jersey and some minivan there on Com Ave trying to figure out where to go. Please, mom, dad, the light's green. Go ahead. Beacon's over there. Com's over there. Okay? Move!
You know, I almost tweeted this while I was in my car.
Hey, Maz.
Because I wasn't moving.
Is this Com Ave? Is this Beacon Street? We can't... No, guys, it crosses in Kenmore Street. Just move. Just move. And you'll figure it out. Just don't stand there. Just don't sit there. Mom, Dad, move!
I like to move it, move it. Yeah, I like to...
Move!
I like to move, move it. I like to move, move it. I like to move, move it. Yeah, I like to...
Move along, Mom. Dad, go ahead.
This is anarchy.
Go back to New Jersey, guys. Back in the minivan. 90 West. We call it the mass plate, but whatever. 90 West in your minivan. Back to New Jersey. And in the meantime, if you're going to be down here, just move. Keep moving. Move. Drop your kid at the dorm and go back to Connecticut. Please. Out. So anyway, Kenmore Square where the Red Sox are in action. So, of course, we're going to talk football.
I'm all in.
I stand by that.
And this one is labeled Squeaky Maz, I Want a Star.
Oh, I know what this is. I don't. Yeah. This is related to...
I want a star, and I think they need a star, and I don't want them to feed me some crap. So, Sean McAdams says, let's take a look at a handful of less expensive alternatives for the Red Sox to pursue.
No, let's not.
Exactly! That's exactly what my response was. I said, no, let's not. I don't want to look at less alternative options. I want a star. I want a guy who's going to hit one 500 feet. I want the sex appeal in the middle of the lineup. I want a star. Star. Go get me Giancarlo.
Yes.
Don't care how I want
a star.
Don't care how
I want a star. Go get me Stanton.
Stanton.
Go get me Stanton.
Stanton.
I want Stanton.
I'm all in.
I want Stanton. I want Stanton. They need a star. They need a freaking star who hits the ball 500 feet.
Stanton hits 500 feet, and then he'll hit 500 more. And that's the only way this crap-eyed Red Sox team will get their runs to score.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.